Flip Funamarwe is a former Springbokton businessman, and now he's uniting South Africans from across the world as one of the co-founders of the Lacquer Network. And we have Flip with us in the studio all the way from Biarritz in France. Hi, Flip. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great. Thank you very much.
And Biarritz, to remind people, is in France near the Spanish border.
Yes, we're on the southwest coast of France. Very rainy, very wet at the moment, but a lovely place. Geographically, much like Cape Town. It's right on the Atlantic, cold, wet winters, but lovely summers here.
So can we start with how you reinvented yourself after your fantastic career as a lock for the Springboks?
Yes, reinvented. I think it's very much a work in progress, as we can say, Linda. We need to constantly evolve as athletes. It's like your main aim is to constantly be better. Every year you need to reflect on how you went and then become a little better. And I'm finding the same works in business. It's just little steps. I had a general sense of direction where I wanted to go. And then you just kept on improving and taking new steps and new directions every year, little by little.
So always sort of close to rugby still, or totally removed from it?
Close to rugby in the sense that I still watch it on the TV every weekend. I love to watch rugby, see what's going on. I am probably the biggest fan of our Springboks and what they achieve and what they mean for our country, but yeah, also local rugby and grassroots. You know, I have two young boys, so I often take him on weekends to the local rugby club, you know, just to experience what it is to see the camaraderie around the field and on the field.
And why did you think you needed an MBA from Cambridge? So that's what you did.
Yeah, yeah, Linda, that's, so why do I need it? I probably don't need it. I wanted one. It's been an ambition of me ever since when I was younger and I attended a well-known school in Bloemfontein called Grey College. And we had a family friend that attended Cambridge, When I was younger, I once saw photos of him attending Cambridge and it looked, you know, it was even before Harry Potter, but it looked like Harry Potter, you know, there's old buildings and all those old traditions and what comes with it. And then obviously, a great education, alongside with it and walking in the footsteps of Darwin and Newton, etc. So the aim was always to get into Cambridge and whatever sense. Undergrad, as a South African, it's extremely complicated to get into Cambridge, funding one, but then academically also because we're not on the same curriculum. So you have to write a lot more extra exams to get into there. So the opportunity came, postgrad and, as an MBA. Even though the process, isn't as linear as you would think because I was a rugby player. I wasn't a corporate executive working in a company. I did study and luckily my marks as a student were good enough. So I first attempted in 2017 and got accepted for the MBA. But then at last chance felt, I still had two more years of rugby in the legs and wanted to enjoy it as much as possible. So, went for the, in 2019 for the executive MBA, which actually was a better fit, in the sense that, the group was a little bit older, a little bit more experienced. So, you know, we could share the same battle scars and a great group of people that I studied with, it was the point where I realized the line between professional sports and the professional career is much similar. And there's a lot that we can, that's a lot that we can replicate in that sense.
And where did it lead to you in the business world? What are you doing right now?
Yeah. So I'm a strategy consultant. Linda, so before you fall asleep, I, 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 I guide leaders to and help them to make the difficult decisions, to make decisions as to where they're playing, how they want to win, what products that the market needs, just a little bit, get leaders out of the day-to-day work and make them, take a high level view of the business and just see what is going on and can we see the wood for the trees, you know, just guide them into a new direction. Often leaders find themselves stuck in a day-to-day, and they reach sort of like a glass ceiling, as they call it. Can't seem to get stuck, get out of it. So that's where I come in, and we come as a very much with a leadership approach. So find the cohesion between your management teams, your leaders, your coaches. And then, you know, what we've learned out of rugby is try to make the players in each position be the best possible way they can. That works well for me. So I can share some personal experiences from high performance teams that I worked with, but also, have the academic backing, then to guide teams into making those decisions.
And is there anybody that you see as a role model or somebody you'd like to emulate from the rugby world or business world?
Oh, yeah, I have plenty. I very much believe, I believe in role models and what they mean. And through the whole of my career, I've had incredible, role models, you know, biggest living legends, probably, you know, a guy like Rusty Rasmus, which I had the privilege as a student to play with and then to play under as a coach, and much of the innovation and that carries through into the rugby world today. You know, is something that we can use in the business world at a lot of coaches and teachers when I was young, that guided me a little bit of carrot and stick, Linda. You know, the Afrikaans culture is a little bit like that. You know, we motivate each other in different ways. And then in the corporate world as well, a lot of friends doing great work. A very good friend that I met through the LACA network, Justinus Adrianse. It's guiding me every day and had massive success wherever he goes. And he's got a great approach that contradicts mine, and it's very good for me. But I also look up, you know, to guys like Simon Sinek, etc., that motivate others and get the best out of other people. Yeah.
And you are also uniting South Africans as a co-founder of the LACA network now.
Yeah, I think that is the aim of any South African living abroad is to unite the South Africanness. And what the people have done with the LACA network, Rene and Nick and the company is, you know, is literally build that network where we can connect wherever we are. And I'm very bullish on South Africa and South Africans and what we do. And, you know, like myself, many of us are overseas for whichever reason. And we've got a hunger to make South Africa work. And I think the LACA network is a great vehicle to do that. And we see the communication and transactions going through the LACA network, and it's quite incredible. You know, you don't have to be an Elon Musk or a Rupert or etc. to have a positive effect on South Africa. It's normal everyday South Africans everywhere across the country that make a lot of difference.
And you also translate that into a podcast.
Yeah, so with Justinus that I mentioned, we've started Winning the Away Game podcast, which emulates exactly what I just said. It's like, you know, what does it take to win away from home? You know, as a sportsman, it was always, you know, 3-4 times more tougher to win when you play at away from home at the opponent's place. It's just because you're not used to the conditions. It's not your supporters. It's a foreign place and a little bit more hostile. And exactly the same things we realize when you start a business in a foreign country. you have to restart your network, restart your support group. You know, the clients have a different approach. As South Africans, you know, we're much more direct. Whereas in France, you have to take a little bit of the wheel and deal, and you have to understand a little bit of a je ne sais quoi, going around and the joie de vivre. So, you know, it's very much of the same. And so we started this podcast to, instead of us just, you know, in Teams meetings, sitting down and having one-to-one chats, as we said, these chats we can actually have and spread them wider to an audience, where we're interviewing successful South Africans abroad and, retired sportsmen that sports people that have found their niche, after sport. And the conversations are incredible. It's not only a sports podcast. There's much more rugby lessons in there. We're seeing different perspectives of how people appreciate the Springboks, which is actually quite incredible. You know, normal people that I would have never met in my life, and we share very deep and vulnerable conversations, which is very good. And also then, you know, the biggest thing that comes out of it is how do we make South Africa a better place for everyone? And that is what we see from the expats is, we take what works overseas and try and emulate it in South Africa in a South African way. And there's some incredible things coming from it, Linda.
And I also see that you ran an Ironman.
I participated in a half Ironman in the Ironman community. It's very important to state that little half. It's still a very still a far, far way to do, especially for a big guy like myself. Yes, it was a great challenge, and I'm completely hooked. I'm definitely doing a few more this year or next year. Yeah.
And we can't let you go without you talking about Rossie and the Springboks. I mean, what have you as an ex-player observed?
Yeah, Rossie and his whole team of coaches, we have to say, and players, they're doing incredible work as Springboks. And I think we are going into an exceptional generation of talent that the Springboks can find, and also, you know, I very strongly believe that we're only at the tip of the iceberg in terms of talent that is coming through. If we see the talent currently at Kramer Week, currently at under 21s, etc., there's so much talent still coming through South Africa. It's incredible, you know, in the November test series that we've seen the Springboks, and every foreigner going to watch a Springbok. And I was lucky enough to go see the French and the Irish test matches. And then you meet a lot of South Africans, and it gives them a little bit of more hope. Yeah, every time the Springboks win overseas, it just feels like, okay, well, that's good. I can go for another 2-3 years now. You know, I've got that South African, pride that they can carry with them into meetings, etc. On a pure sporting sense is the innovation is incredible that they can achieve, with one team. And you can see how they became in, you know, less than 10 years, head and shoulders above of any other team, where it still stays a competitive arena. And every now and then they still lose a match, but you can see they're building on something new. They're gathering the interest of South Africa. You know, not just a particular group of people, but, you know, there's a wide interest in the Springboks and what they can achieve. They're building great humans. You can see the Springboks themselves off the field. There's no bad news, unless they handle the media very well. But there's no bad news coming out. They're uplifting the community, you know, around their family and in the wider circle. You know, I think there's in the Springboks group, there's about 5 or 6 charities running at the moment. So they're giving back wherever they go. So that's a sign of a good team. Is where you're not just building a good business, but you're building good humans that contribute to the business. And I think that is what Rossie and his team is getting right at the moment.
You said you played with Rossie and you played under him as a coach. What did you observe from Rossie that you think no other coach in the world has?
Yeah, he's He's ahead of his time. I think we see that with a lot of special coaches, and also we see that with business inventors. Is they're always a little bit of a special characters. Not everyone understands the way they think all the time. So, you know, with some other fellow South Africans in the United States, we're seeing that a lot of time. Most of the time, they open their mouths. It's not great, you know. But Rossi was definitely way ahead of his time, and the way he thinks about sport and competitiveness, but also about team construct and what everyone should get out of it is very good, you know. So some of the ideas he implements today, he already had, you know, back in 2003, 2004, you know, so that's 20 years that has been working and modeling, the right way of implementing it on the sports field. So, he's an incredible innovator, in the rugby sense and also in the business sense. He's not a daft person. He does pretty well off the field as well.
Wow. Flip the number. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Linda. It was great. Thank you for reaching out. Thank you for the discussion.